Your team just added its 67th AI tool and also your 67th security blind spot. The good news, the Vantor agent works like a GRC engineer in the background, finding every app your team uses, scoring the risk, and drafting fixes for you. Vantor is the platform used by over 16,000 fast-moving companies like Synthesia, Nando's, and Granola, who are shaping the future with AI and staying ahead of AI risk. Get started at Vantor.com.
If you're listening to this and you've tried everything for your mental health, therapy, meds, mindset work, positive thinking, and you still don't feel okay, this episode is for you. Today's conversation is not about hype. It's about trends. It's about what actually helps people when traditional options haven't worked. Now, my guest today is Sam Mandel. He's the co-founder and the CEO of Ketamine Clinics in Los Angeles, one of the most experienced ketamine clinics in the country. But what matters more to me is why he does this work. Now, Sam, before we go and we talk innovation, I want to start with something human. I really would love to know why you just didn't wake up one day and say, I want to run a mental health clinic.
It definitely wasn't just a wake up one day situation. I had a lot of experiences with mental health, addiction, loss to suicide in my family and among my friends over the years. Try to help family get care. And even in a big city like LA, and even if you have resources, mental health care is typically not great. We created the solution that we were seeking, which was really high quality, effective, and compassionate care. And I'm very passionate about that because it's personal. When I was 12, I volunteered for a teen-to-teen suicide prevention line, and I took calls from kids who were in crisis a couple days a week after school. And that was my first kind of foray into mental health. But over the years, I had a lot of personal, you know, challenges and challenges in my friends and family, and that's really been the fuel for what I do.
Now, what did you learn about suffering at that age? Because that's, you know, that's traumatic. 12 years old is so young.
Well, I grew up fast. I grew up in LA, and I had a lot of experiences over the years, and some of them were very challenging. And so what did I learn about suffering? That's a good question. I think now, looking back, I know that, you know, suffering alone is definitely not the answer. I know that alcohol and substances don't help. When people avoid suffering and pain, whether it be through substances or other means, it compounds and it comes back to bite you later. And that anything that's going to defer or put off, just facing it head on and moving through it, it's going to come back to bite you. So as difficult as it is, as painful as it is, the only real answer is to move through it head on. And, you know, avoiding it and all that is just not effective, however you choose to do that.
Now, what do people misunderstand about suicidal thoughts?
Well, so much. I think, you know, some people blame the person who's suffering, or they think they can just snap out of it, or, you know, that they're just, you know, playing a victim role or something like that. People often think that if they ask someone directly if they're feeling suicidal, they're afraid, it's taboo, maybe they'll put the idea in their head. Is a common myth that if they weren't thinking about it before and I asked, maybe they'll say, oh, you know, I wasn't, but that's a great idea. Maybe I'll do that. That's all false. People who are dealing with suicidal thinking, you know, need support. An open and honest conversation is very helpful, showing that you care, definitely not blaming them for feeling that way, and supporting them in getting help, you know, and professional help, and also helping to ensure as much as you can that they're safe along the way. And when necessary, involving, you know, the authorities, if it comes to that.
You know, you went through a lot. You know, sometimes there are certain things in life that just we can't let go. They just it stays with us. And if you are able to really be resilient, you do something positive. And then there are a lot of people that are hurt emotionally and they get plateaued, or they don't know how to move forward in life. Is there something specific in your life that stayed with you and maybe motivated you to do what you do today?
Definitely wanting to be the solution, you know, that I and those I love were seeking. And also just seeing how slow the field is to evolve, the field of medicine, mental health, how conservative most providers are and the institutions and the systems that are in place that really stifle innovation and progress. And there's real consequences to that. And there's people paying literally with their lives. So I'm really motivated to push the field forward and to innovate and to encourage others to do the same. Obviously, safely, ethically, you know, there's a balance between moving too fast enough. There's a spectrum there. But generally, the field is on the side of not moving fast enough, in my opinion. And that's something that I'm passionate about trying to enact change around.
Yeah. For sure. Now, let's name the elephant in the room. A lot of people are feeling like mental health has failed them. They're told to be patient, try another medication, do more mindset work. And meanwhile, they're feeling they can barely function as a person. From what you've seen clinically, where is the system failing us short?
Yeah, I would say for those people, you know, trying the same thing and expecting different results is just not the approach that's going to work. And unfortunately, most of the medications out there, SSRIs, there's all different types, you know, for depression that are more or less the same drug under a different name. And prescription pills as a category are limited in what they can do. And so for people who have tried that and had to deal with really terrible side effects or not gotten a benefit or both, trying something different isn't just a new brand name of the same drug. It's a different treatment. And there's, you know, all different kinds of talk therapy and programs and support. But there's also innovative solutions that are in the category of what's called interventional psychiatry. So interventions, treatments that are done in office. And those are things like ketamine infusion therapy, TMS therapy, Spravato, and more. And so if traditional medications are not working, it's time to look at other things, not just more of the same thing. And there's always hope. And there's a lot of research happening in the field around psychedelic medicines and other new treatments and medications that have great promise. So I want to encourage anyone who's listening to not give up hope. And that there is still a chance that you can feel better. I would say even a probability with the right care and support and the right treatments.
I agree. Now, is it fair to say that the issue isn't that people are broken, it's that the tools haven't matched the severity of what they're dealing with?
100%. Yeah, I don't believe anyone is broken. I don't subscribe to that. We've got, you know, generally very blunt instruments, so to speak. The tools are limited. The field hasn't really progressed much in the last 50 years, the field of mental health. It started to over the more recent years. There started to be a kind of resurgence or renaissance, a lot of forward momentum, which has been great. But generally, it's the tools and the systems as well around healthcare. You know, it's complex. It's very money focused, at least in the United States. And there's a lot of obstacles. There's a lot of barriers to care. The whole world of insurance is we could do an hour just about that and the kind of things that they do to prevent people from getting access. And yeah, providers are overwhelmed. They're overworked. They're burnt out. They're dealing within the bureaucracy or, you know, other limitations of the systems that they're working within. So there's a lot of different issues and challenges that compound that have left us to be where we are now. But yes, the tools are definitely, you know, at the center of that and the limitations of them.
I agree. Now, ketamine gets talked about a lot. And honestly, it gets misunderstood even more. Like for someone who's listening, who's skeptical or scared, can you explain this clearly? Like, what is ketamine therapy and what is it not?
Yeah, that's a great question, Stacey. So ketamine is an anesthetic. It was actually synthesized in the 60s and it was FDA approved for humans in 1970. So a lot of people know of it as a horse tranquilizer or a cat tranquilizer. It is used in veterinary medicine, but that's not its primary purpose. It's actually an FDA approved medicine for people as an anesthetic. And it's also used as an analgesic, as a pain reliever instead of opioids in certain situations. It's also used recreationally or illicitly as Special K. And so depending on someone's exposure to it, they believe that to be what it's all about, but that's just one sliver of its identity, you know, any one of those things that I mentioned. And so it's really a ubiquitous drug. and it's used for many things. Over the last 25 years, there's been a growing body of research for its use as a mental health disorder treatment, primarily for depression, PTSD, anxiety, and suicidal thinking, among other conditions as well. And it's used in sub-anesthetic doses, so much smaller amounts than are traditionally given. And it's very, very effective. At Ketamine Clinics Los Angeles, in my clinic, it works 83% of the time. In the literature, it works between 50 to 70%, depending on the study that you look at. This is really one of the biggest breakthroughs in mental health treatment in the last 50 years. I mean, even quoted by Thomas Insel, the former director of the National Institute of Mental Health. So this is a very exciting, very significant advancement to the field of mental health. And there's a lot of stigma. There's a lot of misinformation. And ketamine is a very safe, very effective drug when it's used ethically, therapeutically. And when people misuse it or abuse it, or it's used in other contexts, yes, bad things happen. And that's really a small, small fraction of the greater use cases and how it's really being used on a daily basis all around the world. And of course, media loves to sensationalize things. And so people get a kind of distorted view of and as far as what it really looks like to receive ketamine for, let's say, depression in a clinic like ours, we do a comprehensive psychiatric evaluation. We have an intake, paperwork, mood assessments, make sure it's a good fit. We review their history, medical and psychiatric history, make sure it would be a safe and effective treatment for them, or that the chances are that it has a good chance of being effective, I should say, because we don't make any promises or guarantees there, but definitely ruling out any kind of safety considerations. And they'll come into our clinic. It's a 5,000 square foot office in the Playa District on the west side of LA. We see mainly people in Los Angeles, but we do have a number of patients who travel to us from literally all over the world because of our reputation and the work that we do here, and fill out some paperwork, have a preparation session. So we provide comprehensive preparation and integration support around the ketamine sessions. So that's the additional care as far as intention setting, setting expectations, preparing them for the experience. And then integration is processing their thoughts and feelings that come up during the treatment and helping them to integrate any learnings or insights into their daily life. So that's additional care and support that isn't necessarily a part of the actual treatment sessions themselves. And then after the paperwork, though, and checking in, they go back to a private room, made comfortable in a recliner with pillows, blankets, noise-canceling headphones, a sleep mask. We have, you know, thousands of hours and really an unlimited selection of relaxing music, establish an IV. We have wonderful psychiatrists, psychiatric nurse practitioners, registered nurses, administrative support staff. There's 15 of us here, so people get a lot of care and support, and establish the IV and run the infusion for about an hour. It's 50 to 55 minutes long. And during that time, there's a huge variability of what the experience itself can feel like. People are conscious and awake the whole time. It is a dissociative anesthetic. There's definitely psychedelic properties. So it is kind of a journey that people go on, and it's a journey of healing. And most of the time, it's pleasant. Sometimes it's difficult. It's almost never bad. People are able to revisit past trauma and gain insight and healing and closure from it. They're able to recognize the things that really matter in their lives and that they want to enact change in, and also the things that maybe aren't so important to them anymore. And it really is restorative for people and cleansing and clarifying. And afterwards, the results are that the minimizing or even elimination of symptoms associated with depression and anxiety and PTSD, and the resurgence of, you know, self-compassion and compassion for others, and energy and motivation to really start to enact the meaningful changes in your life to have a long-term benefit from it. And we're big advocates for talk therapy, for lifestyle optimization, and just ensuring that the pillars of wellness are focused on so that people can really carry the momentum, the positive momentum they get from treatment long-term.
I love that. Now, how is it different from like daily antidepressants?
Oh, yeah, in pretty much every way. I mean, neurochemically, it's a totally unique, you know, mechanism of action. The way that ketamine affects the brain is very different from SSRIs and other antidepressant medications. It affects the glutamate system, the neurotransmitter glutamate primarily, whereas the others are usually focused on serotonin or norepinephrine. So ketamine does have an impact on those things, but they're not the main focus. Glutamate is the most abundant neurotransmitter in the brain. It's present in 85% of the brain. All of the others combined comprise about 15% of the brain. So it's interesting that It has that glutamatergic, you know, drugs haven't been as much of a focus historically in treating depression, but it has a significant role there. And it creates increased neuroplasticity, neurogenesis, new connections in the brain. It actually helps to form new thought patterns. And that can be done with the right care and support to create a really positive outcome. And it also quiets the default mode network, which is the chatter in the mind and the noise, and helps people to have clarity. So it really actually has very little, if any, overlap with any of these other medications, which is one of the reasons why it's so exciting and why it works when nothing else has. We primarily treat people for treatment-resistant conditions, meaning that they haven't benefited from the traditional options. Sometimes a few of them, sometimes people have tried virtually everything, and they are hopeless, and they do feel like there's nothing out there for them. And ketamine does work because it works under a different mechanism of action. It's unique, and not only neurochemically what's going on in the brain, but experientially with this kind of dissociative psychedelic state that I mentioned that gives people an objective view of themselves, their lives, their past, present, future, this kind of new insight and perspective that can also be really valuable. And even just the kind of healing experience of the thoughts and feelings that come up can be really powerful for people. Things like maybe crying when they haven't been able to access their emotions for a long time, and having a good cry during an infusion, or spending time or having a conversation with a loved one who'd passed, you know, in their mind's eye, and feeling like they were able to get some closure or clarity there. So all kinds of different things happen and come up for people. And also, ketamine does not have any of the negative side effects associated with these more traditional medications. Some of the most common are of SSRIs that people struggle with are weight gain, a loss of libido, dry mouth, blurred vision, a flat affect. So they feel like they're not as depressed, but they don't really feel happy either. They're just a little bit numb, kind of narrowed the field of their human experience. And ketamine is the opposite. It actually helps to increase compassion and restores pleasure and helps people to feel more connected with their thoughts and feelings and with others. So it's really a uniquely impactful medication. And again, all of this is when it's used therapeutically, ethically, clinically, you know, in a setting like ours. People who are self-medicating or using it illicitly are not going to have the benefits or the experiences that I'm talking about. And there's a lot of safety and legal issues there as well. So I just want to underline that.
Right. And that's very important. Now, why does ketamine sometimes work when nothing else has?
Yeah, all the reasons I just mentioned, you know, it has a very unique mechanism of action in the way that it affects the brain. It affects the brain in ways that none of these other medications do. And then the experience itself.
Wow. You know, I really want to be responsible here. So who is ketamine therapy not for?
Yeah, that's a good question. So not good for certain personality disorders or schizophrenia. If a bipolar patient's in the middle of a manic or hypomanic episode, it's not a good fit at that time. Though we do have very good results with bipolar depression when patients are stable, but not in the midst of a manic episode. And that's really it psychiatrically. I mean, generally, otherwise, it's a very safe medicine, and it can help a wide range of mental health conditions. Medically speaking, if they have certain cardiac issues, it might not be a good fit. Uncontrolled hypertension or any other kind of uncontrolled things that they're dealing with medically are not a good fit. Generally, we need patients who are at least stable on medically stable. We are a ASC, an ambulatory surgery center. We're accredited by Quad A, which is a high level accreditation as far as safety protocols go. So we have the staffing, the training, you know, supplies and equipment to manage safety at a very high level here. We use hospital grade monitoring equipment for all vital signs with, you know, measuring their pulse, oxygen saturation, EKG, blood pressure. We have an oxygen, you know, crash cart defibrillator, all that. We've thankfully never needed to use any of it, but we have it and we have the trainings. We have a very high level facility with a lot of safety really at the forefront. And so sometimes if someone does have some issues with their blood pressure or their heart rhythm, we can manage that safely and effectively. But going into treatment, those things need to be stable. I would say there's probably a few other things, but for the most part, those are really the big kind of disqualifiers.
Now, who tends to benefit the most from this?
Patients dealing with treatment-resistant depression, PTSD, anxiety, and suicidal thinking. We have over 90% success rate at eliminating suicidal thoughts. So even when patients don't get as much of a benefit for the symptoms of their depression, or maybe if it doesn't last as long, the thoughts of self-harm and suicide are often the very first to dissipate, and they usually don't come back. So even when patients might come back for follow-up treatment, we call them boosters or for maintenance, which people do on an as-needed basis, it's the thoughts of self-harm typically don't return, which is really, really important.
100%. Now, what does a proper screening process look like?
Yeah, psychiatric evaluation and also a review of medical history, treatment history, allergies, medications, previous traumas, treatments that they've tried, whether they've been effective or not, medications, and just learning more about that person's background, really, and their medical and psychiatric history. And we go through that. We have very, very long forms that they fill out, and that also our psychiatric providers will go over and review with them and ask, you know, many questions. Usually spend about an hour with someone for that first conversation, and just going over to make sure that it's a safe option and that there's a good chance that it will help them.
Now, why is medical oversight so critical?
I think it's responsible and ethical care, and there are things that can be problematic for people if they're having, you know, seizures or a bad rhythm with their heart or uncontrolled hypertension or other challenges, then there can be bad outcomes. You know, ketamine does cause a transient increase in blood pressure that if somebody is already at a high level and it goes up higher, you know, they can have a stroke or they can have other problems. So it's responsible care.
Right. Now, what are the red flags people should watch out for when choosing a clinic?
Yeah, that's a good question. So definitely not all ketamine is created equal, and there's a lot of different ways that people are using this medicine. And there's different routes of administration where it's being given IM intramuscularly as an injection, as a shot, sublingual lozenges or troches that dissolve under your tongue. A lot of people are doing that at home, getting it prescribed online. There's real safety and efficacy concerns there. So I would say first and foremost, go get treatment in person in a clinic from licensed medical professionals. Go to a place that is primarily doing this. Don't go somewhere that's offering 20 different things and this is just one of them on the list. Go somewhere that's got a mental health focus, that's really experienced with this treatment, has a good reputation, good online reviews, has been around for more than a few months or a year, you know, has some experience with this. And inquire and ask a lot of questions about what it is, how it works, what their process is like, and shop around and kind of compare with others. If you find that you feel comfortable with them, they're knowledgeable, they're kind, you know, those are all green flags. They have good reviews online. You know, look at their website. Do they have a professional website that has good information? These are all ways to kind of vet a place and see if it's the right fit for you. And if they're pressuring you or they're coming across as very salesy or they're offering package deals or, you know, saying that their ketamine is proprietary or special in ways that is just silliness, that you should all reasons to run away. We have protocols that we do clinically that are unique to our practice, but the drug itself is a generic ubiquitous drug and there's no magic formula or things to add to it to give us an infusion, you know, some special efficacy. So if people are trying to act like that is what they offer, that's a red flag for sure. And yeah, I would look at who's, you know, who's running the treatments and overseeing it and involved in the care. And, you know, generally you want to see a physician involved and at least supervising and have a psychiatric nurse practitioners and registered nurses as well that are, you know, really experienced and trained in providing this treatment. And as far as physician types, you know, there's all kinds out there. I'd say generally psychiatrists and emergency medicine physicians are probably the best in terms of their training and their education. But there are good surgeons and internists and others who are doing this work well. But generally, a psychiatrist or an emergency medicine doc is going to have a little bit more of an understanding of treating mental health conditions, at least through their educational history. And also their experience, of course, their work experience.
You've overseen more than 35,000 infusions for over 6,000 patients. Without violating privacy, what are some of the changes you've seen that still stop you in your tracks?
I mean, there's so numerous. You know, 83% of those have benefited, and mostly in really incredible ways. So, I mean, we've seen, you know, Olympic athletes get back to competing again who are disabled by their depression and unable to compete and earn medals and succeed again. We've had students, you know, get back to school and graduate or go back and get master's degrees, people getting, you know, raises at work, getting married, patients who were, you know, nearly at the point of dying by starvation with eating disorders that started eating again, enjoying food, had a healthy relationship to it, put on healthy weight and felt good again. We've had patients who've tried literally everything out there, including TMS and ECT, which is shock therapy, and really not benefited and been disabled by their depression. In one infusion, start to feel good again. Working, this treatment works very quickly within hours to days. And one patient, you know, started an opera company. She was a singer, wasn't able to perform anymore, was so depressed, started her own opera company, is now directing, producing shows, performing, singing again, building a community, employing other artists. I mean, this doing incredible work and thriving years after first coming to us and after a lifetime of not benefiting. You see, our oldest patient was 94. Our youngest patient was 9 years old. We see men, women, rich, poor, literally billionaires and people, your blue collar working class who can, you know, barely afford it and everything in between. So there's no shortage of just really incredible stories of healing for people.
Wow. Now, what does relief actually look like?
Yeah, minimizing or eliminating symptoms that are associated with anxiety or depression or PTSD or whatever condition people are dealing with, and really feeling good, energized, motivated to live a full life and just being happy and right. Feeling good and not being bogged down by the negative thoughts or feelings that have been, you know, keeping them from thriving.
Yeah. Now, what surprises patients the most?
I would say just a level of compassion and professionalism of my team, and also just how incredibly effective and fast-acting the treatment is. People are really doubtful because they've tried so much that hasn't worked. They think that they're broken or that nothing ever will. And also people think of ketamine as this kind of weird, fringy, you know, just kind of weird thing. There's a lot of judgment or stigma around it. And yeah. So they come in and the clinic is really beautiful, serene, clean, well-designed. Staff is very professional, very kind. The treatment works and it works quickly. You know, I think people imagine they would be coming to some shady door in an alleyway and, you know, getting like it's like a drug deal or something. It's not that at all. So yeah, we get a lot of comments. The clinic is so calming. It's so beautiful. The team is so warm and friendly, professional. Wow, the treatment really worked. That's always really, really gratifying.
Now, what's one story that reminds you why this work matters to you?
I mean, one of our earliest patients saved up money to pay for her own funeral because she didn't want to burden her sons and her family with the funeral expense when she died by suicide. She was planning to take her life and wanted to save up for those funeral costs and decided instead to use that money to pay for treatment. And got a wonderful result after over probably 30 years of suffering and not benefiting from conventional medications and traditional treatments. And she used the difference between what she had saved and what treatment costs to take a vacation with her sons. And I mean, that's just an amazing, amazing story. And, you know, putting her focus on hope and healing and not on how to responsibly, if you would even call it that, and wind down her life. And, you know, she just got such a wonderful result. It was just really gratifying to be a part of that.
Wow. That is an amazing story. Well, you know, let's say someone is listening and thinking, this sounds hopeful, but I don't know where to start. What are three grounded steps someone can take right now if they're struggling?
Yeah, I would go to our website, which is ketamineclinics.com. And that's ketamineclinics.com. Lots of great information there. Take a look, learn more, give us a call. We offer free consultations. There's no obligation. There's no pressure. Happy to talk about your situation, what's going on, why you're interested in treatment. See if it is something that we can help with. It's 310-225 That's our phone number. And anyone can call from anywhere and just chat with us about their situation. Happy to do that. And after that is a evaluation. And if it's decided it's a good fit, we schedule that and that can be done virtually and move forward with helping people with what we offer. We do also offer holistic psychiatry through telehealth and can manage medications that way. And we also offer TMS therapy. And that's another great modality that's done in the office for treatment-resistant depression and OCD. And so we have, you know, a lot of options here that are both covered by insurance and then things that are not, things that you need to come in person for, things that can be done virtually through telehealth. So we're really passionate about ketamine, and I like to talk about it because it's something most people don't really understand, but it's not the only thing that we do. And we take all major insurances. So there's a lot of opportunity for people to get the care that they need under the circumstances that are best for them. So I want to encourage anyone to contact us and explore, you know, any or all of those options and see what we can do to help.
I love it. Now, when you look ahead 5 to 10 years from now, what do you believe mental health care needs to become, not just technically, but ethically and humanly?
Yeah, we need more providers. We need a change in the laws around what insurance companies can and can't do to dictate care. We need, you know, progress there. We need better reimbursement for providers who accept insurance because people want to use their insurance and often don't want to or can't pay out of pocket. And then insurance companies are paying very little and not paying for everything that they should and wasting a lot of providers' time and energy and resources. So we really need to streamline those processes and have some accountability and enforce what they can and can't do that's really ultimately hurting providers and patients who pay the biggest costs there. So we need reform around that. And also to empower more providers to be involved in maybe a wider range of backgrounds and licensure so that there's more people who can meet the need, because the need vastly exceeds the supply of people who can help. And it's only growing. The gap is only getting bigger.
Yeah.
And we need to leverage technology in ways not to replace providers or the human connection, but leverage AI and other technology to support providers in taking care of more people and at a higher level so that the needs can be met.
Oh, 100%, 100%. And I'd like to see insurance companies take this seriously and realize the benefits in ketamine, and they actually would cover the costs, you know, instead of people paying out of pocket, because there's so many different things out there that help people holistically without having to go to medications or surgeries, and they're not covered by the insurance companies. And I think the insurance company needs to look at things more holistically and really realize what's the best options for patients and what really works. And the statistics are there. Your statistics alone show that it works. So if you're listening and you really silently been wondering whether you feel like you want to be yourself again, I want you to hear this clearly. Needing a different approach does not mean that you failed. It means that the system needs to evolve. And Sam, I thank you so much for doing this work and for your integrity and for your compassion and for going through so much in life and actually taking your obstacles in life and really turning it around to help other people. And you've done that through your actions. And I really commend you, you know, because so many people would have given up in life when they get hit with boulders, but it didn't, you know, knock down. You got back up and you really overcame those obstacles and you really turned, you know, you rose above, you know, the chaos and the crisis, and you turned something that could have been really, really bad and you turned it into something positive. And now you're helping so many other people. So I want to commend you on that. And for anyone who wants to learn more about Sam's work, it'll be in the show notes. And, you know, and remember, everybody, you're not broken. You're not alone. And there are options. And, you know, Sam, thank you so much for being on the show today. I appreciate you and I appreciate what you do. And is there anything that you'd like to share before we close this episode?
Just thank you for having me. You know, it's my honor to do this work. It's been great to chat with you today. If this episode helps even one person, job well done. And my closing message is simply just don't give up hope. There is hope. There are things out there that you've probably not tried. I don't think there's anyone who could really say that they've tried everything, because right. there is so much out there in both the Western medical model and alternative medicine and Eastern medicine. And there's a lot of advancement in the field right now around psychedelic medicines and other things that are being worked on and that are rapidly getting approved. So don't give up. There is hope. And that's really what I want to leave people with. And, you know, I'm here and my team is here to help people in any way that we can. And it's our privilege too.
When it comes to the social networks, you mentioned where they can find you on your website, and you mentioned how they can contact you with your phone number. Are there a certain social networks that you post on a regular basis?
Yeah. So the clinics is Keta Clinics LA, which is KETA. CLINICSLA. And then my personal is The Sam Mandel. And that's THE Sam, SAM Mandel, MANDEL. And yeah, please engage with us and let's chat further on social.
I love it. Well, thank you so much. This has been an awesome episode. And I really thank you for really going over and providing such great knowledge and wisdom and really, you know, helping people overcome the, you know, the false beliefs out there and the wrong information, and really providing people what's accurate and really how ketamine can be a real benefit in people's lives. So thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you for having me again. It's my pleasure.
You're welcome. You have a great day.
You too, Stacey.